Hey, welcome in. Arkansas baseball wins a series at South Carolina this weekend, 2-1. The Razorbacks, you know, you can kind of look at this series one of two ways. You can look at it as they won the series, and that's what the objective was. You can also look at it as they're probably pretty fortunate that they won the series, because I don't want to say South Carolina gave Arkansas the game on Saturday, because you put the ball in play and you never know what's going to happen. But if it's not for a two-out error in the ninth inning, South Carolina wins Saturday, and you go into Sunday's game 1-1, and maybe Sunday's game goes differently if it's a 1-1 series. We'll never know. But it's weird. Arkansas has a great game Friday night. They're lucky to win Saturday. I didn't think they played real well on Sunday, Bubba. They had a lot of opportunities, just couldn't get the runs home, and that's kind of been a thing. It feels like we're kind of in this carousel with the baseball team where they'll have a game or two where it's going really good offensively, and you're thinking, okay, maybe they've turned the corner. And then for like two or three games, all of a sudden it's kind of gone back to, hey, they're not driving in runs again. I'm interested to see if that's going to be the pattern all year, or if maybe they do turn the corner and then they keep turning the corner.
So the thing I do like about Sunday is, in Sunday's game, we gave ourselves opportunities. We had runners on base. Mm-hmm. We had opportunities, and we didn't capitalize on them. Then we made a couple of mistakes on defense that were pretty costly. Yeah. I think had we lost Saturday's game, we'd have showed up different Sunday. Mm. I think we'd have showed up ready to win the series. So I think Sunday would have played out differently. Something about when you win those first two games, it's like the third game, it's just – you know, I know they had a watch party Saturday night for basketball. Maybe they stayed up too late watching the game. I don't know what happened, but we just weren't. I didn't like some of our bats. I thought we had some bad at bats. I don't know if Stone was that good. I will say the pitcher for South Carolina, you and I talked about a second ago, the fact that he went to Monty Lee and said, I want the ball, says a lot about the dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he wanted the ball, and a guy that wants the ball can be a dangerous force on the mound. And he did a really good job mixing in that little cutter, sweeper, slider thing that he threw. It looked more like a sweeper on the TV, but I think we got away from our approach that we had Friday night. I thought Friday our approach was phenomenal. How we approached Gunther was great, because he's got really good stuff. But I don't know. It just wasn't there on Sunday, and that's baseball.
Today's baseball podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a third-generation family-owned business serving Northwest Arkansas since 1976. Just like great baseball programs, H&R is built on consistency, trust, and doing things the right way. No shortcuts and no gimmicks at H&R Tire and Auto. It feels like this is the way baseball goes. You kick a team pretty good in game one, and you're going to get a fight the rest of the weekend. And that's what happened. I mean, Arkansas, they scored 22 runs in seven innings and just really put it on South Carolina on Friday night. And, you know, South Carolina, they're probably the worst team in the SEC this year. Missouri is in the conversation too. But I'm interested to see what happens now that there's the coaching change.
Yeah.
Because they looked like a totally different team, just in terms of maybe the care factor, the motivation, how hard they played. They looked totally different those last two games. And I don't know if it's because Arkansas put it on them Friday night. I don't know if it's because they're playing harder for an interim head coach. Maybe it's a combination of the two.
It looked like to me they kind of rallied around the new head coach, to be honest with you. Because now you can say, well, they didn't have any energy on Friday, but you're getting beat down. It's hard to have energy when it's 22-6. I mean, I get it. But they look flat, even their at-bats, but they looked totally different the next 2 days, especially Sunday. And they rallied around their starting pitcher Sunday, and they looked like a completely new team. It looked like to me they got carved up on Saturday by Dietz's cutter. You know, I don't know how many of his punch-outs. He had 12. Most of them were on the cutter.
I think 8 of 12 were on the cutter. I think 3 were on the curve, and 1 was a fastball looking.
Yeah, I mean, he carved them up. He changed speeds with the cutter. You know, mixing some fastballs, and I thought Sunday they came out, and it's almost like every fastball we threw, they were on. And it's like they just said, we're going to hunt the fastball, and that's it. and they weren't swinging at many off-speed pitches. So, I don't know. They just made a conscious effort to do something different, it looked like. But they did play with a lot more energy. And, you know, baseball's mental. You get a new coach in there, maybe that lifted them up a little bit. But I think it was time. I don't know if you watch Maneri's post-game press conference. Yes. Friday, I watched it, and I'm like, that's not a good press conference. That's a guy that's just defeated. I don't know if that's what got him fired or not, but that was very uninspiring. You know, I try to flip it and say, well, what would DVH do if we got beat down like that? Dave would have a little anger in him, a little frustration for the way the team played. And you say, look, we're going to flush this one, come out and get it tomorrow. I didn't see any of that from Paul Maneri, which was really disappointing. And, you know, hate that he's gone. He's had a good run, though, won a lot of games. Now Dave's the active leader and wins.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah. Dave Van Horn goes there, and it's number one versus number two. And who would have thought?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, when I got the call Saturday morning that Maneri was stepping down, number one, it was in the middle of my daughter's birthday party. I'm like, of course, this happens right now. And number two, it's, you know, what I told the person on the other end of the line, I said, I kind of figured this was coming after last night. I thought it might be after Sunday's game. The fact for it to happen in the middle of the series is what really took me off guard.
I think it's probably better that it happened when it did. Because what if they do muster a couple of wins? Mm. And then you're like, well, now we can't fire him. We won two games. We won the series. I think it was a good time to do it. After that, the press conference, I think it was just time. So we'll see what happens. But they looked Sunday like a team that had talent. I thought they were horrible on Friday. I thought this team is maybe worse than Missouri last year. But then you watch them Sunday. I mean, that Amp Phillips on Saturday, he can pitch.
He can pitch.
I mean, the guy's got that little – it looks like a little slider that's almost like a cutter. He throws 86, 87 miles an hour. Gunther's good on Friday night. We just had a great approach against him. And then Stone on Sunday. That's three pretty good pitchers. Mm-hmm. I will say I'm not a big fan of their closer. I think the baseball gods were watching, and Saturday played out just like it should have, because that's a tired act on the mound.
Well, he acted like he had won the game at the end of the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And you hear coaches talk about this all the time. Save your energy, save your emotions, because it wasn't over at that point.
So watch, and I did it with my son. I said, watch this guy pitch, and then watch Cole Gibler pitch.
Yeah.
Watch how they go about their business. One's a dude that's all about me, me, me. Cole Gibler's out there just taking care of business for his team. Did you see when they brought the closer in and he struck Pompey out? On a 3-2 changeup, I think, down.
He was talking at him.
Hey, he was running his mouth
and
acting like it was game seven of the World Series. Dude, you got one out. That's it. You just got one out. This ain't over. It's eighth inning. I knew right then that I just felt good. I think something's good is going to happen.
I kind of had the same thought.
It typically does. But, man, you can't do that. And God bless Dave Van Horn, because he would never allow or Hobbs – never allow one of his pitchers to act like that on a mound. That's unbelievable to me. It's not even the little shimmy thing. That's tired, but if that's what you want to do, do it. But it's all the other stuff that gets me, that just it's about me. Mm-hmm. It's about the name on the back of the jersey, not the name on the front, and that drives me just crazy.
And he was just emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, like even when he walked Helfrich in the ninth inning – I mean, it was like a 3-1 pitch, and he was acting like that should have been a strikeout. Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you get that strike, you got to throw another one to him, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just – it's just too much. And like I said, it's – that kind of stuff, I'm old school. And, look, I want emotion. I want passion on the field. But do it the right way. Do it. Act like you've been there before. I mean, that was just a tired act.
Well, in his defense, he has not been there before. He was a D2 pitcher who'd been at Texas State – and this is his first year at South Carolina. You know, maybe they do things different at the other levels. But yeah, it felt like, what's the old saying? Well, Anyway, it felt like he was going to get his.
I could give you a bunch of old sayings, but I'm sure we can't say them on here.
You texted me one Saturday that we won't repeat. Yeah. Hey, when it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eggland's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D, 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. For more, visit egglandsbest.com for more information. So let's talk about Friday's game. Arkansas wins 22-6. It's like a home run derby. I mean, New had one off the batter's eye. Then Ruiz and Kozel, they go back-to-back in the second inning. Cahuillo Aloy hit a monster shot in the fourth. And it's 9-0. But really the inning that I thought was the most impressive was that fourth inning when they put together 8 runs. Yeah. I think there was an error in there. There might have been a wild pitch or two, but they took some walks, they hit, and South Carolina helped them out a lot. They gave them 15 free passes in that game Friday. I think it was 12 walks and 3 hit batters. But as Van Horn said afterward, and I thought it was a good point he made, he said, some of that is that our guys, Arkansas's guys, were hitting so well that they didn't want to put it in the middle of the plate, and that can affect pitch placement too.
Yeah, I think we kind of scared them out of the zone after the first couple innings. I think we really did. I think Gunther was frustrated because we weren't chasing his pitcher's pitches. Mm-hmm. We were laying off those. Mm-hmm. He didn't get a couple of calls. There were a couple borderline calls, 50-50 pitches he didn't get, but I don't think they were strikes. And when we got pitch in the zone, we hammered it. I thought that was awesome. Then, when you get to a certain point, they start bringing in guys that probably don't pitch
right.
a whole lot. I mean, it is what it is when the score gets to a certain point, but we still kept attacking. And that's what I love, is we didn't swing at the borderline pitches. We made them come in the zone, and when they did, we hurt them. But I think we did kind of scare them out of the zone there for a while.
I thought Friday night, if you're a scout in the ballpark watching that game Friday night, how are you not going back to your organization today and saying, hey, we got to take a real strong look at Mike Anu in the draft this year? I mean, think about when you're talking about a 5-tool player, Bubba, think about all the things that he did during that game. He stole a base. He showed power. He was able to, hit non-home runs. And he makes that great catch in center field. And to me, it's not just the fact that he made the catch, but I started thinking the next day, he's only been playing center field for like, 8 months, 9 months, something like that. I mean, he was a shortstop last year at Marshall. That's a hard play for an experienced center fielder to make. And I thought the fact that, he hasn't been playing the position very long to go make a play like that was really impressive.
Oh, it was awesome. And he really did display pretty much every tool you need. He's got the power. He's got bat speed, which mm-hmm. translates to power. He's got a great arm. He's fast. Plays good defense, hits for an average. Don't know about yet if he's going to play as an average hitter, but you don't need to have 5 tools playing the big leagues. Mm-hmm. You just need a couple of them and then a few more pretty good ones. So the ball that he caught in right center or left center. So I was watching it. I went back and looked at it because I always want to look at a guy's first step. And as a center fielder, a lot of times you can be moving before the ball. The bat starts through the zone, you can be moving. Mm-hmm. And he was actually – he did a little prep step. He was moving this way before the ball even came off the bat. If you go back and look at that play, which is incredible, he took a perfect route to it. And then in Sunday's game, he caught another ball in the right center gap where he mm-hmm. took a perfect route to mm-hmm. a ball slicing. I think it was off a right-handed bat. Took a perfect route. And for a guy that hadn't played much center field, it's pretty impressive. But I like how he's moving. And I watch the center fielder all the time. I've watched all our good center fielders. I used to love watching Dominic Fletcher mm-hmm. out there. But his routes are perfect. But his first step is so, on point. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
And that's the key, too. And then you add that first step with his speed. Like, Fletcher mm-hmm. didn't have great speed. Mm-hmm. But he had a great – he was able to read the ball off the bat so well. If he's got the read, plus we know that he's got the speed, I mean, holy cow, that's a really good combination there.
It's awesome. And playing center field is actually the easiest play. I wasn't near as fast as Mike Anu, but I played a lot of center field. And center's easy because if you're paying attention to your pitcher, what he's throwing, and the hitter's swing, you can move before the ball's hit. Mm-hmm. The when he starts his swing, the knob's going to tell you where the ball's going to go, the knob of the bat. And I think that's what Mike is good at doing, is tracking the ball in the zone. First of all, knowing the pitch that's going into the zone is going to tell you a lot about the ball coming out of the zone off the bat. And I just think it's awesome to watch him. And he's got a chance to play for a long time. You know, I think he's special. I love watching him play. He's exciting. He's fun. He plays with a little passion, plays with a little grit. I love it.
Explain that more, like how the knob of a bat is going to tell about the track of the ball.
Well, if the knob – so the swing from the lefty, the knob went out just a little bit, and then his knob cut across this way, so his barrel dropped just a little bit. So he's either going to do two things. He's going to roll over the ball in the infield, which has nothing to do with you in center field, or he's going to hit a slice to left center. I do a drill where we close the nets – and I put my whole team out there on the other side of the net, and I have a guy throw to me, and I hit balls into the net about 30 feet away. And their job is to see how quick they can react. And it's incredible. Some guys just have an instinct of where to move. Now, we're inside a building, so all they're doing is taking one hard step, but that first step is so important. It's a great drill to teach the guys, even infielders, to watch and just control the knob of the bat. Watch what the knob does. The barrel's going to follow the knob. It's a neat drill just for guys to help get their first step down. But Mike is great at it. I love it.
I thought he had such a good weekend. And, you know, he nearly had a third home run on Saturday. The center fielder, Tyler Bach, for South Carolina, took a home run away from him. Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, you may be talking about him as SEC Player of the Week.
Yeah. Okay, so early in the year, he had a whole lot of like movement. He's what you call a fast twitch guy. I haven't talked to Nate about him or anything, but when you talk about a guy like that, everything's like fast twitch. But you remember he had all that movement when he was in the box. He's toned that down just a little bit, and I think that's helped him like see the ball, because if you're moving fast, then your eyes are moving fast. I think he slowed everything down, but he's so much fun to watch. The whole team to me is fun to watch. I mean, look at the double. The hustle double he got, a ground ball pass short, he gets a double on it. I mean, how many guys get a double on that? Souza did the same thing. Souza hit a ball to left center. I want to say it one hop, the left fielder, and he opened up, you know, non-glove side, it looked like, and Souza's at second base. I mean, this team's fun to watch. And it goes back to the speed and athleticism part of it. That's not really about stolen bases. I know I'm getting sidetracked. I'm getting off of Micah, but the ground ball double to me, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, they got they got three or four guys that can really run on the bases that are a lot of fun to watch. I want to tell you that Southern Loft believes your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste. Whether you're looking for a new sofa for the living room, a sleek dining table for your kitchen, they've got just what you need. When you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville, or call 479-856-6100. On Saturday, you know, we talked about it a little bit. Well, first off, I do want to go back on Friday. One thing, Gabe Gackel. I thought his velocity looked better the first few innings. Fourth inning, I'm willing to kind of give him a little bit of a mulligan there, because he sat in the dugout for about 40 minutes while Arkansas was just going to town on South Carolina's pitching staff. I wonder how that outing might have gone differently had it been, you know, more of a normal game where it's not 17-0 when you're coming out for the fourth inning.
That's a long time to wait. But what I like about him is he threw strikes. I mean, we had a big lead. You know, he wasn't worried. You know, he threw the ball over the plate and, you know, let him hit it, pitch to contact. One of the home runs I think was a 1-2. I think the second home run, wasn't that after Ruiz missed that ball in left field? Then the next guy hit a home run.
It was two batters later. So that was a one out error.
Oh, okay.
They get an out, and then it's a two out homer.
Yeah.
So two unearned runs.
I want to ask Matt Hobbs about it tomorrow or Gackel. It looked like he threw more righty changeups than he's thrown in the past, which I think is just a deadly pitch for him. It gets guys off of that breaking ball. And then I thought he did a good job of showing the slower breaking ball, 80-81, and then getting the punch out with the 86-mile-an-hour slider. I thought he did a good job mixing his pitches. Fastball had some life on it. I just got asked a question on the radio a second ago. If we had a one game to win, who would you want with the ball?
Mm.
And that's a tough question because Gackle just has this it thing to him. Even when he's not going great, there's just something about, I feel so good when the ball's in his hand. Now, it'd be hard to not pick Deitch just because how dominant, mm-hmm. he, especially over the weekend, he was. But I love Gabe Gackle. I've always loved him, whether he's starting out of the pen. He's going to give up a few hits, but something about him. He just finds ways.
Yeah, and going back to the velocity. Like, and this is not unique to Gabe Gackle. This is probably most pitchers who have ever lived. But it feels like he pitches better, and the velocity goes up as the weather warms. Mm-hmm. And I thought we saw that last year, and I think we might be seeing that again this year, if Friday night's any indication.
I think so. And it's hard to tell watching the broadcast. What was his velo, around 95?
94, 95, I think mostly. But it's been more like 92, 93, 94, I think.
Yeah, I know he gave up one home run on a 92-mile-an-hour fastball a couple of starts ago, and I've never seen him throw a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. If he throws it 95, the guy gets jammed, but 92, it goes over the fence. But I like the way he releases the ball about 5-8, and it's just – it's got a second gear to it. Yeah, yep. It's got a second gear. So, to me, it's 94, 95 perceived velocity. It gets on up there, you know, 98, 99, I think. You know, but I just like him, and I love, like I said, if he can mix in that changeup to righties, that'll keep him honest and keep him from sitting on that breaking ball.
I thought Deitch looked outstanding on Saturday. Somebody said Saturday morning, like, I'm worried about Deitch. Like, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Like, after I saw the way South Carolina hit on Friday night, I just thought, I think Deitch is going to carve these guys up, and he did. And it's unfortunate that it was such a tight game, and he almost took a loss had it not been for that error in the ninth inning. Boy, if they could ever put together, and it feels like it's been this way several times for him this year, where he's pitched well, but the bats haven't been there when he's pitching well necessarily. I think there have been a game or two where they've blown out an opponent with him on the mound too, but. If they could ever put it together, like if the bats would have, you know, their day on Saturday, whenever he's on the mound, well, you could probably be looking at, you know, like some run roll type games.
Yeah.
Because he's really good.
So you talk about Gackle letting the ball go at 5-8, you know, roughly around there. Deitch is like 6-8, where his release point is, sometimes 6-9. So he's like on top of the ball, really throwing downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about a tough adjustment for hitters going from Gackle here to Deitch there. And then he'll throw that fastball, and he's got ride on his fastball, so he can throw it at the top or the bottom. But the weapon that's so awesome is that cutter. Hitters just can't – they don't see it. And I love the fact that he throws it. I don't know if the 83 to 84 mile an hour pitch is still a cutter. I think it's a cutter that he just manipulates the grip.
Mm-hmm.
But he throws it anywhere from 87, 88 to 83, 84. And it's just two different shapes. And you watch some even good right-handed hitters that usually rake lefties are swinging at cutters that are hitting the plate. And it's crazy how they don't have an answer for it.
I read something about him the other day. Like the scouts are just – he has their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody knew that there was a possibility of that if he could pitch up to the expectations that were there for him. And I think he's certainly done that this year.
Yeah. No, I love him. Plus, he looks so under control on the mound. Like, you know, I said something about Cole Gibler. Cole comes in, gives up a first pitch hit to a lefty, just kind of hung a breaking ball. You don't see his facial expression change. You know, it's just a confidence about him, and I think you see that out of Deitch right now. He's got that. I think he finally realizes, took a while to come back from the injuries, but I think he realizes now that I'm good, I'll get these guys out, you know. And it's fun to watch.
I was looking at his numbers here a second ago. So he's got 54 strikeouts right now, I think, in 30 and a third innings. At the same point in 2024, Hagen Smith had 62 strikeouts. So it's not quite Hagen, but Hagen also had that 17 strikeout game against Oregon State that really, you know, he ate on those numbers quite a bit. I think Hagen had thrown maybe a couple, three more innings than Hunter had right now. But that's kind of what it reminds me is watching Hagen Smith pitch a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities and just the ugly swings that you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can look at – you can sit there and you can stare at TrackMan and say, oh, wow, look, he's releasing it up here. It's going downhill. You know, look at the angle into the zone. Look at all this – the metrics, or you can just watch the hitters.
Mm-hmm.
The hitters are going to tell you how good his stuff is, and it's really good.
Yeah, they look very frustrated whenever they get out of the box against him.
They do.
Yeah. And then I thought Cole Gibler pitched really well on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I did too. I thought I love Cole. I think the dude was sitting on that first pitch breaking ball when he came in. Plus, mm-hmm. it was hanging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if he throws it, if he lands it away, the guy probably rolls over because he's sitting on it. He's going to swing at it and roll over. But I love Cole. I love the way he pitches. There were a lot of times it looked like a guy might be sitting off speed and he'd throw a fastball by him. Helfrich did a really good job, I thought, of mixing pitches. I thought Helfrich did a good job all weekend calling pitches. I think there were a couple guys that we can't throw first pitch fastballs to. I don't know, the one dude that hit the three home runs,
mm-hmm.
two of them were on first
Jake
pitch.
Jake Randolph.
Yeah, two of them were on first pitch fastballs. That's mm-hmm. a first pitch swing dude. Well, can't throw him a fastball first pitch. And I talk about it all the time, Matt, even on the like the youth level. Like right now my son's 14,
mm-hmm.
so we started playing when we were 7 as a team. So I played the same teams all the way up. I can tell you every first pitch swinger in that age group, which is really pathetic. But I know who swings at the first pitch, so you don't throw them a first pitch fastball. If you do, you throw it out of the zone, then you come back in 1-0 and get them to roll over a 1-0 changeup. But it's there's certain guys that they're hunting fastballs, and that Randolph guy was, and he just ran into a couple.
Okay, before we get off Saturday's game, I want to ask you about the force play slide call. This is after Mike Anew gets on base. To lead off an inning. I don't remember. Did he? I think he singled past short to get on base. And then you've got the – so we'll set up the play. Reese Robinette hits a ground ball toward second base. And I think it actually might have been the shortstop playing shifted over mm-hmm. towards second. He fields the ball, and it becomes a foot race between he and Mike Anew to the bag at second base. Anew's called out, which I think he was out by just a half a step. If even that. And then Robinette is safe at first base as they try to turn the double play. They go back and they look at the replay, and Arkansas challenges it because they want to see if New is safe on this bang-bang play at second. South Carolina challenges it because they think New has interfered with the shortstop trying to throw back toward first base. Lengthy review, like probably the longest review we've seen all year. Probably took close to 5 minutes. For them to come up with this determination. And they say that New has violated the force play slide rule, where that says that if you're sliding into a base, you have to slide away from the fielder so that he's got a path to throw back toward first. My question is, what is the base runner supposed to do right there? Is he supposed to concede second right. base when it's going to be a bang-bang play? Like, I understand that he made contact with the second base or with the shortstop at second base, but I don't know how you make that call.
I think it's a horrible call. I was just looking at my phone. I sent that video to a friend of mine. It's an umpire, been an umpire for years, and I wanted his take on it, and I should have done it sooner. He didn't got back to me yet. But Micah tried to avoid it. So the shortstop's coming across. Micah went intentionally to the inside part of the bag.
Toward his left.
Yeah, to the left to avoid contact and get to that corner of the bag. I think it's a horrible call. Now, I mean, I know what the rule reads, but, I mean, he's got a right to the bag. He mm-hmm. tried to avoid contact. Now, I think if he goes to the to the outside of the bag and slides and mm-hmm. initiates contact, I could possibly see that. You're able to slide through the bag. Mm-hmm. It's not like a lawn dart. You don't stop on the bag. You're able to slide through the bag. You just can't. You can't come up.
And he does come up right at the very end.
Yeah, but that's after the play's over. I mean, that's just his momentum. I don't know. I thought it was a horrible call. I don't. I just don't know how you call that.
I just think thought that's it was a no-win situation for the base runner.
What's that?
I thought it was a no-win situation for the base runner right
there. Yeah, I think it was. And I would like to – who knows who's analyzing that back in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. I don't put a lot of faith in what comes out of Birmingham on some of those reviews. But I'd like for that person to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
To explain to us why you made that call and give us reasons. I'm a why person. I want to know why they made the call. And then if that is the case and that situation ever comes up again, we know to do something different because they're not going to throw Reese Robinette. You're not going to get doubled off on that. You know, Reese was safe.
The other thing that was unfortunate about that play is that, I mean, if you're at first base, you have to run towards second right there. You can't you don't have any option to stay at first.
Yeah.
And you see him, he has to hesitate for just a second to let that ball go past him because he can't risk the ball hitting him or it's an automatic out.
Right. There's a lot going on there. But when they were reviewing it, I never dreamed that they would review. I was actually listening to Phil. I'd actually gone outside for just a second during the review. And, I didn't think they would possibly do the double play calls. I didn't like it. I did see what Dave said about it. I think Dave was kind of a little bit,
Well, I asked him the question. It seems I'm asking all the questions now in the press conferences, but that's a different story. But I asked it in a way, it's like, hey, I'm confused by this. And it was probably a little bit of a leading question. It was like, it just seemed odd to me that you're going to call the base runner out right there. I thought that it was really unfortunate for Micah because, again, I just feel like he's kind of in a no-win situation right there. When you've got that baseman coming across the bag and then going to make that, whip throw back to his left over to first base, I don't know how you can avoid contact when you're sliding that hard into the second base bag.
Well, you can't. With the shortstop coming across and you going this way, you're going to collide. Yep. It's impossible not to unless Micah slides in and stops right on the base. We don't want to do that. That's how you tear your rotator.
Yeah.
Or your labrum. So, I don't know. So when I'm coaching, Matt, and something like that happens, I don't yell and scream at the umpire, but I go out there and I'm like, can you explain that to me? In case it happens again, I want to know what your rationale is.
Mm.
Just tell me what you're thinking because I want to make sure that I'm teaching it the right way to where we don't let that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And, most umpires are pretty cool about it. But the dude back in Birmingham, I would like an explanation. I don't know if that's possible.
You can ask, but typically they're not going to give you one. Mm-hmm. It has to be something. To get an explanation from the SEC about a play that is, debatable, like it has to be – it either has to be wrong, and they're going to sit there and they're going to face the music that it's wrong, or it has to be something that's really, really, really high profile. And, the second out of the seventh inning of a Saturday game, the second week of Arkansas, South Carolina, that they're not going to give you an explanation on that one. So,
but I mean, there was contact, but there's no way to avoid the contact the way the play was. That's a play you probably won't see the rest of the year.
Now, I'll say this. You're not going to get a public explanation.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that the coach can't call the SEC office and have a conversation with the director of officiating, umpiring, whatever they call it for baseball, and get an explanation from them. I could easily see where maybe that happens this week.
I think a good sports writer would follow up on that and ask Dave for an explanation, see if he called.
We'll see. we'll see how it goes against UCA tomorrow night. Sometimes you have to you have to hedge that a little bit based on how the game goes.
Are we getting off of Saturday? Because I wanted to say one more thing about Saturday.
What was it?
Sousa's slide in the first.
I was about to ask you about that. Did you not hold your breath a little bit?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I slid in the first once trying to avoid a tag. And, I never had arm injury in my life, but I jammed my left shoulder.
Mm.
And I couldn't even lift my arm up on that exact same play. I hit the bag. I didn't slide over it. But the minute I saw, it was like slow motion in my mind. I'm like, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was an awesome bunt, great hustle. But don't slide into first.
But doesn't that tell you something about him?
Yeah.
That he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there trying to make a play for his team.
Yeah.
That was not a good professional decision for Nolan Sousa.
No, it wasn't.
But it helped him a heck of a lot in that moment.
Yeah. They say, though, it's faster to run through. I don't know. To me, it looks like it's faster if you dive because you think you're getting there faster. But statistically, analytically, they say it's faster to run through the bag. I don't know. Maybe we need to test that.
And it's so hard to, like, I mean, like, are you sitting there thinking about all the analytics that are going through your head in that, you know, 2 second?
No, you're not. You're right, though. That's a competitor trying to get to first base any means possible. I love that. That's what makes Nolan.
And if he's out right there, they may not score in the 10th inning because Ruiz didn't get the job done. Mm-mm. And Kozel grounds out to first for maybe to second, but that's what allowed the run to get home. You know, that may be the third out of the inning.
I was surprised we didn't safety squeeze there. I thought with Ruiz up, I thought, well, maybe, okay, Ruiz struck out. That's one out. You know, I thought they might let him swing. I thought they might bunt Kozel there against the lefty. Mm. But I couldn't see the defensive alignment. I don't know where the corners were. Mm-hmm. Probably there was a reason why Dave didn't.
That's
but
always,
it worked out.
That's always the hardest part of watching a game on TV is, yes, you're able to see some replays and some things that you might not see when you're in the ballpark. But you can't on TV see the all – well, in football you call it the all 22. I don't know what you'd call it in baseball. But you can't see everything you know, in baseball on TV like you can whenever you're there in person.
But if you're a good play-by-play guy or analyst, you're going to say, okay, corners are in here. They're really pinching. It's going to be tough to do a safety squeeze. They never showed the defense. They never commented on the defense. But there had to be a reason why, because I think, you know, knowing Dave, a lot of times in that situation, he might let the first guy, Ruiz, try to hit because, you know, he's going to put the ball in play.
Well, he had a good weekend. I mean, there was really no reason to think that he was going to strike out there in that situation.
Yeah. Dude threw him a good pitch, though. It looked like a slider down and in. I don't know if it was slider or changeup. It was hard to tell with the broadcast. But anyway, yeah, I was just glad. I was glad Nolan didn't get hurt there. Awesome bunt, though.
That was great
bunt. And good job of Pumpy getting the double. Laid off a tough pitch down. Mm-hmm. I think it was a changeup down and then hit the next pitch.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a tough weekend, but he made some good swings too. Pompey did. Hey, a reminder, our baseball podcast sponsored by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a local shop that's been family-owned for three generations. They built their reputation on taking care of customers the right way. That kind of longevity doesn't happen by accident at H&R Tire and Auto. So on Sunday, what did you make of the offensive struggles? We talked a little bit about Stone and some things that he was doing, but it just – I don't know. Again, they had so many opportunities. I think they had a leadoff guy on in the second, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, eighth, and ninth innings. So five of the nine innings they had a leadoff guy, but they only scored him twice. Right. It felt like there was a lot of inconsistency in the lineup.
So he's a sinker slider guy. I think his slider kind of morphs into a sweeper. At least it looked like that on the broadcast. He gets like a 70% ground ball rate. I just felt like we swung at his pitch too much, where like on Gunther, we laid off of his pitcher's pitch and we got hitter's pitches and hit him. I don't know. I didn't like our approach, but you know, it's easy for me to say sitting on the couch. You know, why are we swinging at that? Yeah. Why, you know, why this? Why that? But I just felt like we didn't have a really good approach, and I'm not taking anything away from the team. I just feel like we just, you know, and maybe we had a plan to go up and hunt that pitch and try to swing at it. I don't know. Maybe he throws it, you know, 75% of the time, and we were trying to hit it. I don't know, but yeah, just wasn't our best offensive day.
If you're up 2-0 and it's getaway day, is it hard to keep your concentration?
It shouldn't be, but maybe. And you've won, you know, you have the series won. I think they wanted that game more than we did. Mm-hmm. And I hate that, pains me to say that. But I think South Carolina really felt like their backs were against the wall. And I thought South Carolina did a good job. I thought their starter, the fact that Stone goes to the coach and says, "Give me the ball," I mean, that's a dude I want on the bump.
You could really tell their dugout was into the game too. I mean, like, they were loud and they were engaged, and it felt very early like Arkansas just could not match their momentum.
Yeah,
or their enthusiasm.
And you have bad days, but we still got 10 hits.
Yeah,
you know, it's you take away an error or two, and then maybe one big hit, and you know, we had a tie game. Mm-hmm. Maybe we take the lead. Who knows? So even though we didn't play well, I guess I shouldn't. We still had 10 hits, and hit some balls hard that got caught. I know Helfrich hit a couple balls hard that got caught, or at least one hard ball.
He nearly hit a home run. I'm still not convinced he didn't hit a home run in the ninth inning. It looked awfully close.
Yeah. Yeah, Phil was – he described it. He said it was close.
Yeah.
So Ryder hits some balls hard. Ryder has the worst luck. He lines out more than anyone on the team. So
– I think he'll be better. Remember last year they were talking about the trajectory of Helfrich and Souza were similar. And we saw what happened with Helfrich. Souza gets hurt. It seems like you're kind of seeing that same thing with Souza right now. I wonder if you might see that with Helfrich. And we talked about Gackle kind of being the same way on the mound.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, Ryder's such a force at the plate. What's he been on base every game this year?
Every game he's played, yeah. So he's 24 in a row.
Finds a way to get on. I love the little push bunt he did to the right side. I mean, just
– and it kind of got him going too, because even though he'd been on base some, like it was really walks, I think, that was getting him on base early in that. He didn't have – did he have a hit? I don't know that he had a hit during the game, during the 22-6 game.
Yeah, I don't think he had one.
But he walked a couple of times during that game.
Yeah.
And so I thought that the bunt was, number one, it was just a good kind of wake up, you know, first pitch of the inning. Hey, all of a sudden you got a base runner. Number two, it was something that probably got his confidence up a little bit.
Probably so. But he did line out to left, really hard to left on a first pitch breaking ball. He lined out to center. I mean, he just has some tough luck.
Yeah. So.
But it's good to see Souza swinging it.
He's batting .500 in SEC play now.
I saw that. Yeah.
So and I mean that's six games. That's a. Yeah, it's not like .500 and you played two SEC games. And six games, I understand that's not 30. Let's see what he's doing, you know, in 2 months. But like I feel like that he's figuring some things out there at the bottom.
So, is there a better, more athletic 8-9? Punt, 1-2 punch.
It would be hard to find them, especially Pompey. If they're playing at their highest level.
I mean, I look at Pompey and Souza in the 8-9 hole. I'm like, those are two absolute studs. 8-9 hole. It's a really good luxury to have if you're DVH.
I think what Souza's doing at the 9 hole, like that sets the table for the Kozels and the Helfrichs and we saw that with Mississippi State last week. You know, their 9 hole guy batting over .400. And, you know, that set the table for the Ace Reeses of the world who, you know, he had that big game on Saturday. I'm interested to see how this goes when they play Florida this week. Did you see Florida? They got swept at Alabama over the weekend, and that was a big surprise to me. It's going to be their second straight weekend traveling. You know, maybe they get things figured out, and they got some guys who can really throw. Like Liam Peterson, their Friday guy, that's as good as you're going to see, I think, all year probably. But, boy, they just looked out. They looked awfully disengaged at Alabama. You know, they almost got no hit by South Carolina on Friday night 2 weeks ago. Then they get no hit by Alabama on Friday night. And so they're wasting these performances by Liam Peterson with the inept offensive performances by guys who really shouldn't be doing that to Florida's lineup, if you ask me.
Yeah, I don't understand how they're not doing better than they are. Did you see the clip of O'Sullivan standing off to the side with, like, it looked like, I don't know if he was hungover or just frustrated. His puppy died. I don't know what happened. But he looked miserable and defeated. And I like him. And, yeah, I don't know what.
Well, you know, he had that time back in the fall where he had, and I don't know what was going on in his personal life, but he had to step away from the program for a while, for several weeks.
Yeah.
And then he was, you know, he came back. Was reinstated. I don't know what the word would be. It almost feels, and this is easy to say too, because he's been there for 20 years. It feels like we may be at the end of the O'Sullivan era at Florida. Just something feels off about Florida right now.
Something felt off about that video clip.
Yep, it did.
It just didn't.
It didn't look like a coach that was engaged in the game.
No, and you gotta know the camera's on you, like. Would you ever see DVH like that over in the corner, like this right here with his hat off, like he's, you know? I mean, I guess I shouldn't gauge everything off of DVH because he's the best, but I compare.
Would you see Tim Corbin? Would you see Mike Bianco?
Exactly.
You're right. Would you see Vitello, you know, whenever he was – That was really jarring. Yeah. Jay Johnson, I don't think you'd see that out of him. Maybe you'd see it out of Schlossnagel. He's kind of an interesting character.
Yeah, yeah.
But to your point, it's just something you don't see from experienced veteran coaches like that.
Yeah, so I was surprised. But, yeah, I watched it a couple times.
Like, I mean, even you can see it from Paul Manaria when it was, 17 to nothing in the fourth inning the other night.
Your players are a reflection of the head coach. Mm-hmm. I know every manager I ever played for, by the end of the year, I took on a lot of his personalities. Mm-hmm. If he was a tough guy, whatever. Your players can't see you like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a bad look. I mean, what signal does that send your team? And, yeah, I don't know.
Pompey's errors yesterday, made two of them. I wonder what you made of those, because I've been very much in his camp saying, like, they need him to hit because I think he's one of their best fielders. Mm-hmm. And he's shown that he's a really good fielder. Maybe he just had a bad day yesterday. What did you see from those two plays?
First of all, I think he got lucky. I think the first one they gave a hit, it should have been an error. Mm. That topspin ball. Now, that's a tough play. Yeah. That ball had a lot of topspin on it.
Otherwise, he would have had three.
He'd had three. The other one was a ball kind of on the line that he had to go back for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he really set his feet. The ball looked like it kind of cut on him and cut away from Robinette. And then the double play ball, he honestly did everything right. He fielded it. His footwork was good. It looked like his direction was good. It looked like he just led Souza too much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Souza was late getting to the bag. I'm not sure what happened, but you're trying to give him a good throw where his momentum's going towards first there, and I think he just led him too much. So I don't read a whole lot into it. I mean, it's a bad day. I mean, big league dudes have errors and bad days. So
it was a bad day at the plate for him too. 0-for-4.
Yeah.
I had this thought late in the game. You make a couple of errors. I wonder if it's the bat going to the field at all.
It could be. You hope not, because his defense has been so good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just chalk it up as a bad day and go get him tomorrow night. I don't know if he'll be in there tomorrow night or if Dave will give some guys a rest against UCA.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a 6 o'clock game between Arkansas and UCA. We're going to have a preview of that game today on our website at wholehogsports.com, talking to Nick Harlan, the UCA baseball coach. Same conference as Stetson out of the A-Sun. Who came in here, and they essentially won a midweek game in my mind. I know it was a Monday game, but to me that's a midweek game that Stetson won.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I like Harlan. I sent some players there. I like him. I'm looking forward. I always get excited when UCA comes to town. It's a lot of fun because a lot of the guys on the roster are guys that I know and I've kind of watched grow up around mm-hmm. here. So it's always a lot of fun. So should be a fun game. I don't know if Dave's announced a pitcher. Are we thinking Peyton Lee?
Peyton Lee is my – so I talked to Matt Hobbs for a while last week, and the feeling I got in talking to him is that they think that Peyton Lee needs to become their number four guy.
Yeah.
That's going to make the rest of the pitching staff work best if Peyton Lee can start for him. And, he gave him a pretty good start last week. What did he go, 5 innings in that game against mm-hmm. Northern Colorado? And, never felt it felt like it was a good, solid kind of reset outing for him after he'd been away for 3 weeks.
And you know who I'd like to see? I'd like to see Brissy back out there and see, I want Brissy to get right. He wasn't very – something was off with him his last outing. Yeah. So hopefully we could see Brissy out there too.
By the way, I wanted to mention over the weekend, James DeCrimmer was listed as out on the SEC availability report. I think he's dealing with a calf injury right mm-hmm. now. And so I don't know what his availability is going to be like for the midweek, but that's another arm who, he would typically be giving you some innings in the midweek, and he's not, or at least if he's still out tomorrow, obviously you're not going to get that from him, and so you got to find those two or three innings from somewhere else.
Well, you think of who didn't throw. Parker didn't throw over the weekend. Coyle,
mm-hmm. did not. No.
Yeah. So. Probably
that was Coyle the weird thing about the weekend was like, and you can't expect him to be perfect all year,
mm-hmm.
but Eaves had not given up a run. McIlvain had not given up a run. They both gave up runs yesterday. And that's where I wanted to ask you, like, it felt to me like maybe it was just one of those days where you run into an offense that's just really clicking. because it wasn't just Colin Fisher who was struggling. I mean, it felt like everybody they brought out there, and it's two or three other pitchers who've been pitching really well. Jackson Kershaw didn't have a good outing on the mound either, and he's been pitching really well of late. He hadn't given up a run since Valentine's Day. I don't know. It felt like it was just South Carolina's day.
Yeah, and McIlvain, they hit a couple ground balls that got through. If they do turn the double play, McIlvain doesn't give up a run. That would have been mm-hmm. an inning.
That was with him. Double play.
I think they were just swinging it. I think they were just hot. Kircher's fastball was up to 99.
Mm-hmm.
Missed real close with a couple of borderline pitches that would have changed things. So, yeah, I think it was just one of those things. Don't read too much into it.
Yeah.
So, well, I want Colin. You know, Colin just didn't have his best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think he, I don't know if he got squeezed or not. I don't think he liked the strike zone. Sometimes that can get in your head a little bit. But he mm-hmm. didn't have his breaking ball early on. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, his breaking ball is really good. So mm-hmm. then he had to go to other pitches. And so, but I think Colin will be fine.
Well, and I heard South Carolina's coach and who hit the home runs?
Jake, Randolph.
Randolph, yeah. They were both talking afterward. And they, you know, basically they said, we could tell he didn't have his breaking ball. And so it was set on the fastball. And they did it was a good game plan by South Carolina.
Yeah.
And it worked out to their advantage. Fisher is kind of an interesting deal. He was so dominant for 3 weeks. Now this is 3 weeks in a row where he hasn't pitched so well. I think that this weekend against, I suspect they'll keep the rotation the same for this weekend at Florida, but you know, he needs to have a good outing because it's, you know, you have three in a row. Okay. Maybe you stick with, you have four in a row. That's when I think you might start to think about what do you potentially do different on Sunday.
Right, but then what do you do? Boy, it's so nice having – Cole Gibbler could be the number three starter easily.
He's nice to have out of the bullpen.
He's so nice to come in, whether it be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whichever that game lines up to bring him in
mm-hmm.
in the seventh and close out the game, seventh, yeah. eighth, ninth, or sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, whatever. It's so nice having him in that role. You almost hate to take him out of there. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But I get it. You know, you've got to have a more consistent start. But I think Colin will come back this weekend and do well. He's a competitor. He's got good stuff.
He's a good strike thrower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been the thing the last couple of weeks. I think he's going to come back to the mean, so to speak, and he can be able to throw strikes again. But it seems like it's been off the last couple of weeks with him. Once again, we want to tell you, Baseball Podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto, proudly family-owned since 1976. Trusted across Northwest Arkansas, committed to keeping you safe on the road all season long. Learn more or schedule service at hnrtireandauto.com. You can hear Bubba tomorrow night on the Razorback Sports Network when Arkansas plays UCA at 6 o'clock over at Baum Walker Stadium. We'll have coverage at wholehogsports.com. Bubba will be back in here on Thursday. We'll talk about the UCA game. We'll look ahead to this weekend's series against Florida. Also on our website, we got a full team out on the West Coast for Razorback basketball. Get ready to play Arizona in the Sweet 16. Hope that you come to wholehogsports.com to read all of their coverage. Bubba, appreciate you being here. We appreciate you all being with us, and see you again next time.